listening to the Ruminations Thursday, August the 27th, in the year of our Lord 2015 broadcast of Law and Gospel. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. And because it's a Thursday and Ruminations, we have with us the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Good morning, Pastor Baker. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Is your weather as nice as here?
Oh, yeah. Boy, it was cold this morning.
Well, that's good. Now, this is the best time of year when you don't have to have on the heat, don't have to have on the air conditioning.
That's right. You got the windows wide open.
Although it does appear that a lot of people got very heated when the stock market lost 1,000 points. Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, you know, I did. Yeah, there was a famous televangelist that evidently said it was God's judgment.
What was his name?
Pat Robertson.
Yes, Pat Robertson.
That it was God's judgment on America that it lost 1,000 points.
Well, I guess God must have fallen asleep then the 2 days after, because not only has the stock market rallied, but it's going up even today.
Yeah.
So what happened to the judgment?
Yeah. And if you talk to many analysts, they said, you know, you still got September and October to go through, which sometimes you see it go down. So it's anybody's guess, you know, watching that system. But I certainly wouldn't put God's judgment on it.
Yeah, I believe it was Pat Robertson who also said Katrina, which, of course, we're coming up to the 10th anniversary pretty soon here, that had occurred against the homosexuals in New Orleans, which was interesting because about the only area that wasn't devastated was where the homosexuals live. So
right.
What are you going to say about that?
Yeah, well, we have to be so careful on the kind of judgments we put out there.
Yes, and I think, you know, there's two kinds of theologians, theologians of glory and theologians of the cross, and the theologians of glory get their information about God from their experience, in contrast to those of us who get our information about God from the Bible. So if you want to play on your experience, boy, every time you'd have a member that has a bad day or something terrible happens, you would have to say, see, that's God's judgment on some sin. And pretty soon you're sounding like those three so-called friends of Job.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And didn't they say, forget God? And it was Job who finally says, I know that my Redeemer lives.
Right. His wife even said, curse God.
Right.
Yeah. So it's really important to remember the two most important decisions, and Chris Ann talked about this yesterday, was what congregation you join and who you marry. And what congregation you join, you really want to be sure that the pastor is in sync with the Word of God and he doesn't spend his sermon time or Bible study time giving his own points of view where the Bible doesn't back him up.
You're right, and I think that's very important. That you see to it that it's a pastor who teaches the gospel purely and administers the sacraments in the right way.
You know, it was quite a tragedy yesterday when this gentleman named Vester Lee Flanagan ended up murdering those two reporters, Allison Parker and her cameraman, Adam Ward. It's all over the news these days.
Yeah, you know, our hearts go out to the families, including his family, the guy who committed the murders, that I'm sure that they didn't condone this in any form or fashion. But, boy, the more I read about it, the more I see that this guy went on a decided path of destruction.
And, of course, this brings up the whole question about gun control and what they're going to do. But he was able to pass the papers, which allows a person to get a gun. And I heard yesterday on one of the television stations that where the real problem comes sometimes, we've got plenty of good gun laws, but due to ineptitude on the part of certain people, they don't put into the public record reasons why a person should not receive a gun permit. They leave them out. And in fact, they gave some examples of individuals who had committed this kind of atrocity and should never have gotten a gun if the information had been publicly made. But this really becomes a problem. You and I, we often take private confession, and you know that if we're going to indicate that somebody is off base or mentally unstable, that could be quite a few members of the congregation.
Yeah, and I think you really hit on a note there. You know, if you read in Martin Luther's works, the Genesis Lectures on Cain and Abel, He makes the distinction that knives kill people. Knives don't kill people, but people kill people.
Yes, there's no doubt that, for example, even if you had no guns at all in this country, people are being beheaded, and that's not with a gun. So I know it's not that many, and the real problem, of course, are many of these gangs that occur. We have them here in St. Louis. Of course, they're in Chicago and New York. And when the police aren't permitted to do their job, when they're told to stand back, or when they're not permitted to wear the proper armament and such, you're going to have chaos. And that's a Lutheran understanding, that the first use of the law is for the government to curb wickedness. And when they're not allowed to do that, guess what happens?
Right. And I think on a wider scale, because Christians are being persecuted and destroyed and killed by ISIS out in foreign countries, and they're using guns and beheadings and things of that nature.
Yeah, I want to make one point that hasn't been that clearly stated in the news about this Vester Lee Flanagan, is that he was very upset. He was a black man, and he was upset bringing charges of people who were, he considered, doing racial remarks against him. But the one thing that I caught that hardly has been stated much at all is that he was a homosexual. And as soon as I heard that, first of all, it didn't surprise me. Because if one thinks about it, the Supreme Court may have made a ruling that gay marriage is okay. But when you're caught in Satan's thinking and believing that homosexuality is a proper lifestyle, God just gives you guilt. It's kind of like these women who have abortions. You know, 1973, they said abortion was legal. Well, guess what? That doesn't take away the guilt of many people, many women who have had abortions, and sometimes that doesn't come up for a few years. And I had made a prediction that even in light of the Supreme Court ruling, there were still going to be many suicides on the part of gay people. And, of course, they're going to blame Christians, as this Vester Flanagan did, saying that he was being made fun of because he was a gay person. The fact of the matter is that true Christians are not going to stop speaking out against this abomination of homosexuality. And we're going to be being read as hating these people, attacking these people, and it doesn't surprise me at all that mentally unstable is the way that the world thinks of this, when in reality, remember what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah when the angels came?
Right. They wanted to have sex with them.
Yes, exactly. And a gay person already is therefore embroiled in Satan's way of thinking, and therefore does not really have proper understanding of reality. And so it's not going to be surprising to me that even in light of the Supreme Court ruling, you're still going to have a number of these people, unfortunately, who are going to commit suicide because the guilt is just too much for them.
Right. And on the flip side of that, as you discuss it, the other thing that comes to mind is is that true Christians love a homosexual in the right understanding of,
yes,
of the cross of Jesus Christ. And we do have repentant homosexuals who live out their lives in our churches, whether they're Lutheran or other various denominations.
Yeah, I've even given advice to a congregation. They were trying to find a speaker who would be very good for youth, because many of the youth, due to social media, etc., are being caught up with the idea that homosexuality is a valid lifestyle, which, of course, it is not. And my suggestion was to get a former homosexual who has now become a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, repenting of his sin and is fully forgiven and can really give some insights to the youth as to what a detrimental lifestyle that is.
I think that's a wise advice, good advice, and very well said.
In fact, when I was a pastor, let's say somebody comes down with incurable cancer, what I would do is get them to speak to someone else in the congregation who may have the same disease, who has a faith that trusts God to take care of him or her. And therefore, sometimes the pastor isn't the best person to talk to such an individual, simply because we don't have all the experiences that they have had with these kinds of dreaded disease or other catastrophes.
Yeah, I would agree with you up to a point. You know, the longer a guy's a pastor, the more he encounters these things that are out there. And he can see the pain, the agony that they're going through, and it becomes his job to bring to them the word, the comforts that's found in the gospel.
Yeah, I know my one congregation that I attend has divorce counseling. What do you think they do there?
I would imagine that they've got people that have gone through divorces that they talk to. But, you know, you got married couples go through some of the very same problems, and they work them out, and many of them work it out at the cross of Christ.
I'm receiving here on Law and Gospel not only emails but also hand-printed letters from individuals who are homosexuals and trying to break out of it. And I used to have a good friend, a pastor, but he's moved to another state, who was really helping a lot of those gentlemen and ladies who had that problem. If there is any pastor in the St. Louis area, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, who's working in helping either homosexuals break out of that abomination, or parents, family members who are wondering what to do, you know, you've got not only Alcoholics Anonymous for alcoholics, but there is also a group, is there not, for wives of alcoholics, etc.?
Well, that's, I forget what they call that.
Yeah, I do too. But that would be something. And we really need to have confidential groups get together, because through the power of the Holy Spirit, a person can leave an abominable lifestyle, like an alcoholic. Now, we need to realize that I believe that some of these addictions you'll never lose, but you'll be able to learn to cope with them through the power of the Holy Spirit.
I would agree. And I've seen that happen in the lives of individual Christians where the addiction doesn't go away. The homosexuality, for instance, doesn't go away. But the power of the gospel gives them the ability to live out their lives in a repentant fashion.
What I was surprised at a little bit is how much the killing of the two reporters was on the news. People were saying this is the first time. What they were forgetting during that same time period, even that same morning, Christians were being killed in ISIS. There were young men being killed in Chicago, and there was no news on that at all. It's as though people don't realize what a fallen world we're in. And it really doesn't matter how many laws that you are going to make. Laws often do prevent crimes if you're dealing with someone who's afraid of getting caught. But so many people don't think they're going to get caught, and so they try and do the crime in a secretive way, and then when they're caught, they really feel bad about it. So we need to realize that laws, yes, they may prevent some of us from doing something wrong, but there are a lot of people who do not have a proper heart, and therefore the laws are in place to really punish them and discipline them when they go against the will of God in these areas.
I would agree, and that's why it's great that we have a police force, a military that enforce our laws and keep things on a straight and narrow to restrain that kind of evil that goes on out there.
Yeah, I was kind of fascinated by how they caught Vester Lee Flanagan when he was driving the car. You see, they had the license number of the rental car, and they have a machine. Some of the state police, not all of them have it, where as a car goes by, it captures your license number, and then it makes some kind of notice to the police officer in the car that this is a license number that the police are looking for. And did you know that's how they caught him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was quite interesting. Interesting technology.
If you'd like to phone, our numbers here are 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. I'm not sure the church really can be helpful when a lot of people are saying, if you know of someone who's mentally unstable, then you need to report it, and then you need also to make sure they get on a list so they can't buy a gun and things like that. Now, that's really good if it could work. My problem is, what if you have an unstable employer who therefore puts things down against you that will not only ruin your reputation, but if you ever leave that job, it's public knowledge, you'll never get another job.
Well, yeah, there's so many variables that go into it, but generally, if you got an unstable employer, it's going to be found out. In this instance, this guy had claimed that, and when it went to the courts, they showed that the employer was not unstable, and that there was no basis of fact. So generally, there's stuff that comes out one way or the other.
Yes. In other words, I think you're making a good point. It's really difficult to make it clear who is mentally unstable to the point where they could not register for a gun. Because if that has to become public knowledge, I didn't realize this, but you can sue your employer if they say things about you that are wrong.
Right, and that has happened in this instance. And what has been found out in the intervening time is his work record of this fellow had followed him. He had a history of doing this sort of thing, of filing lawsuits and blaming other people for the problems that he had, and that it was racism, that it was this, it was that. But in the end, it really was about the work he did.
Another item that I just so happened to see in the paper, which was kind of interesting, was a county clerk in Moorhead, Kentucky, has lost her appeal. She refused to issue marriage licenses to gay couples. And the particular court said that, she wasn't allowed to do that as long as she was working, for the government. But I found it interesting that her attorney said the following, because he was disappointed with the ruling. They're thinking of an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, and here's what he says. The Court of Appeals did not provide any religious accommodation rights to individuals, which makes little sense because at the end of the day, it's individuals that are carrying out the acts of the office. They don't lose their individual constitutional rights just because they are employed in a public office. And I find that kind of interesting. There's no doubt if I was forced to sin as a public official, I want to do that, but I'm not just quite sure whether what giving out court marriage licenses that would be included. What do you think?
Yeah, it runs into an interesting question of an individual rights versus a public rights. You know, it goes back to the old gun theory. You know, you hand out a gun permit and the person's allowed to buy a gun and they use it for bad purposes. Does that mean then you committed a sin there?
Exactly.
I think you have to be careful with that kind of logic.
Let's go to the phone lines and talk with Mike. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, in regard to that black man that committed that murder yesterday, but, you know, it used to be the law until a couple of years ago when, you know, if blacks were unrepresented in your company, you could make a complaint to the EEOC, and they would take the person's side. Of course, the company wouldn't want to fight it because, you know, government lawyers can fight forever and it costs too much. But they changed the law on that, and that's probably what happened to this guy. He probably did make a lot of money over the years, but now his racket just doesn't work anymore.
Okay, I appreciate that insight. He actually, in his 26-page manifesto, makes a point that he made a lot of money by selling his body to other men. And I don't need to go into details what he was talking about there. And he felt that he was being criticized for that. And so we Christians, you know, we're in a position where we follow the will of God. And therefore, when we speak out against adultery, for example, or homosexuality or abortion, etc., people are going to jump to the conclusion that we therefore are judging, that we should not be able to do that, and that we hate these people. But the fact of the matter is, when we look in the mirror, don't we, Wes? We see ourselves just as sinful as these individuals.
Sure. We do it on a Sunday morning when we gather together. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all our sins. We confess to God all our sins, and it doesn't make any difference what your background is, what your color is, what your race is, what your sins were. We confess them all to Jesus.
I think it's one of the reasons people don't like Lutheran liturgy, because it's not user-friendly. It starts off saying, I'm a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And unless you have a faith, a deep faith in regard to Christianity, you're not going to be able to understand that.
Right. And by the way, wasn't that Duck Dynasty thing from 1 Corinthians 6? Wasn't that the same sort of thing where they came out and said, you know, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Right.
And it's talked about fornication, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves. But homosexuals were listed in with the adulterers and everything else.
Yes, and there's no such thing as a loving homosexual. If you use the word love, there's three Greek words. We've talked about this. Agape, phileo, and eros. Eros is erotic love. And that's a sensual love, and that's the kind of love, for example, that a man might have toward a three-year-old little girl or something like that. That he may use the word love in the English, but from God's point of view, that is a prohibitive love. And it's really a fleshly love, a sensuality, and it is not regarded as proper love at all by God. And, of course, we're going to be attacked by that. We're going to be persecuted by that. And we ought to be not surprised, therefore, when more violence is going to occur. Because when people feel that they're being put down, they finally reach a boiling point. And it ought not be a surprise to us, like it seems to be to a lot of people yesterday.
Right. And by the way, we need to remind, too, that we talked about confessing our sins on that Sunday morning. And we also hear that we are forgiven in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes, and that absolution begins with these first four words, upon this your confession. So that is something that is really between you and God. And if it is a sincere confession of the forgiveness of sins, then you sincerely do receive the gift of the forgiveness. But if it's an unsincere confession where you really don't think you're a sinner. By the way, another item in the news, remember that Colorado theater shooter James Holmes had killed quite a few people. Oh, yesterday, yeah. He was sentenced not only to a whole bunch of years, 12 consecutive life sentences, but the judge added on 3,312 years for 70 convictions of attempted murder.
Oh, my goodness.
So this man will not be leaving prison anytime soon, and this is the way that God works. Obviously, those punishments were already in place before he did the damage, but he didn't care because for whatever reason. Well, we're done.
Oh, my goodness. It went too quick.
On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we're going to be taking a look at open mic so that you can call in with any of your questions. And I'm Tom Baker. Remember to listen carefully to right after we end speaking. Thank you, Wes, for being on the air. We look forward to next week also. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.